Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olives, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today is A Tale of Mandela, the Bookseller, by Arnold Pearl. It was based on a translation by Yusef Geir of a story entitled Benjamin's First Journey by Mendela Mocheh Seforim, which appeared in the Menorah Journal.
If you'd like to hear the tale of a man who traveled farther than Columbus, was more daring than Magellan, whose exploits pale into insignificance the adventures of Ulysses, Marco Polo, Ponce de Leon, and all the other great explorers put together, then listen to the tale of Benjamin Nyomka of Pitalon. Sit down, light a pipe, rest yourself, and listen. I am Mendela Mocheh Seforim, Mendele the bookseller. Not another Homer, I assure you. Not even a Cervantes. Although to tell this story properly, I should be. So if you listen and if you like what I say, I have everything a learned man could want in the way of books. Also novels, poetry, commentaries, a wagon full. And I assure you, this story of Benjamin of Bitalan you never read in any book. Never. Bitalan is a small town in a far distant valley on the other side of nowhere. Nothing ever happened there, except along these lines.
Your hen laid an egg this morning.
Good, fine. That's new.
Or else?
You think it will rain today, Zelda?
I don't know. What do you think?
It might. Hasn't rained in 3 days.
Or...
What happened?
I stubbed my toe.
Such was Bitalan. Now then imagine the stir when news came that one of its least distinguished members had outdone, as I said, Marco Polo, Alexander of Macedonia, Hendrik Hudson, and Amerigo Vespuccio. And who was it? How did it happen? Just wait. That's exactly what I'm telling you. All the days of his life until he became famous, Benjamin Nyomka lived a quiet life in Bitalan. He and his wife Zelda. How did he live?
How do I live? I live. There's a God in heaven, and he does not desert his creatures.
A little more precise, Benjamin. How exactly do you live?
Well, I first I have a gift from God, who is above us. A fairish singing voice. So on the holidays, sometimes I sing. And then I have a goat who gives milk now and then. And then, as I said, God is our father and does not forget his children.
As you see, in every way an honest, upright man. But also, this also, there was something special.
Where have you been, Benjamin?
To the railroad station.
Did you meet someone?
I got a map.
Another map?
China. The conductor got it for me.
China. Mm-hmm. Half the house is overflowing with maps and travel books, and now he needs China. What are you going to do with them all?
What a question. Visit these places, explore them, travel over them. Let me show you something, Zelda. Did you know that in the Sea of Omsk, off the China coast, there a man can catch sea monsters 80 feet long? Did you know that, huh? Oh,
the cabbage is boiling on the stove, my traveler. I have work to do, my Columbus.
Benjamin had the greatest collection of maps, travel books, Baedekers, adventure stories, and histories of exploration of anyone in the province. There was always a map in his hand, a book in his pocket, an adventure on his lips. The only thing was, no one paid any attention to him. No one, that is, except a most unusual man who was called Sandal the Wife. Every man needs a leper to set him off. Don Quixote had his Sancho Pancho Panza. Benjamin Yomka had Sandrel the Wife. Why Sandrel the Wife? I shall explain. Sandrel was a humble man and most tractable. It was his pleasure to do the will of others. If the children rode on his back and pulled his beard all day long, as they did, and someone said,
Sandrel, why do you let them climb all over you? Are you a tree?
Sandrel would answer,
it doesn't hurt very much, and if they don't object, why should I?
Thus, he was an excellent follower, especially so for his wife, Deborah.
Sandrel, you'll peel the potatoes.
If that's what you want, fine. I'll peel the potatoes.
And put a handkerchief over your beard or you'll get peelings in it like you did last week.
Certainly, a handkerchief.
And wear an apron.
An apron.
So you can see how this equipped him eminently as an assistant traveler to Benjamin Abitalon. Now it happened once that a pig fell into Benjamin's hands. And straightway, of course, he took it to Sandro's kitchen.
Sandro!
Ah, Benjamin, come in. You don't need to whisper.
Deborah's not home?
She went shopping.
Good. So leave the potatoes and let's go into the front room and talk.
If you want to, let's do it.
You can take off the apron, too, no?
The apron? Certainly.
And the handkerchief.
Why not?
No. Now, sit down. Look at this.
What is it?
A fig. Smell it.
A fig. Is that a fact? It smells delicious. Where did it come from?
The conductor of the train gave it to me. And a new map of the region. It comes from Palestine.
No.
Yeah, Palestine. Smell it.
I did already.
Yeah, well, try again. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. Go ahead, do that.
All right. My eyes are closed.
What do you see?
I'm sorry, Benjamin. Nothing.
Concentrate. The Wailing Wall. Can't you see the Wailing Wall? Rachel's tomb and Mount Hebron.
From this one thing?
Close your eyes tighter. Let your imagination run a little. Now, you see it? The crowds of people in oriental robes, the bazaar, everybody talking Hebrew. And look at the earth. Don't you see it?
What?
Palestine. Now, is there any reason why we shouldn't go there?
Is that where the thing comes from?
Yes. Now, why shouldn't we travel there, you and I?
The two of us?
Why not? Don't you want to?
Do you?
Of course I do.
Well, then I want to. Can I?
We have only to pack a few things and go. Do you know what things lie outside this village, Sandro?
Well, there's the mill and the inn where they serve wine.
No, way beyond that.
Beyond the forest, even?
Miles beyond that.
No. What?
Great settlements are there. Unexplored lands with strange people and animals. You remember about the Chimera?
I honestly don't know.
Solomon used it. Building the temple to split the hardest rocks.
Is that there?
Certainly. Also the piperonoid and four-legged birds and reptiles with wings and scorpions.
Wouldn't you be frightened?
Oh, these are things an explorer expects.
Still, scorpions and reptiles with wings.
Is it better to sit with a handkerchief over your beard and peel potatoes?
Do you really want to go?
I told you, I'm going.
Well, if that's what you want, I'll go too. Only, let's start already before my wife comes back from her shopping.
That was how the great adventure began. Before they set out, like all other explorers, Benjamin had to do a little practicing, so...
Sandro, we have to prepare ourselves for the journey.
Prepare ourselves?
Well, we'll be sleeping out a lot in the woods. You like to sleep alone in the woods?
Do you?
Yeah, that's not the point. The point is we must prepare ourselves for it. Whatever is to happen, we must expect it. We must make ourselves like steel.
Steel?
So, let's spend this afternoon in the woods.
Alone?
Well, the two of us.
Oh.
And then tomorrow we start out. You ready?
If you're ready, I'm ready. So they set out. It was late afternoon when they started, and the sun was low on the horizon. When they got to the forest, it was somewhat dark. They walked in silence for perhaps 10 minutes.
Sandro.
What?
Very nice, isn't it?
Very.
Exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Better than peeling onions?
Much.
So, stop looking so worried. Stop looking back so much in the war.
And on they walked another 10 minutes. And the forest grew just a shade darker. And the two voyagers walked just a trifle closer.
Huh. What was that?
I didn't hear anything. Did you?
Shh. Listen. You hear that?
I think so.
Oh, the cricket. You got frightened for nothing.
I'm sorry.
Wait.
Huh?
What's that?
What? I don't hear anything.
I heard a sound like,
maybe we better start back.
Maybe we better. Which way is that?
We came that way, so we go back this way. Direction is the first law of exploration. A good traveler never gets lost.
So, of course, they went the wrong way. As night fell, the stars came out. Benjamin raised his eyes heavenward, offered a prayer of thanks, and said,
"This is north, this south, this east, this west."
How do you know?
There is the North Star, you see? That point north. Now, since the village is due east, we go this way, east.
And they walked off to the west. By now, believe me, the forest was really dark. And when they went bumping into bushes, they were losing each other.
Sandro, hold on to my hand.
I can't see your hand.
No. Here. Oh, the tree. I thought that was you.
No, I'm here.
Where?
Here.
Good. Now, hold on now. Don't go getting lost, you know.
Benjamin.
Hmm?
I don't know about these things, but you have a fairish singing voice.
So?
It would be better than to sing, I mean, than whistling.
Excellent idea. Excellent. We'll sing. A favorite refuge of Magellan. Did I hear that? No. It's my imagination.
What are you singing?
Huh?
Such a song at this time?
I don't feel like singing. We'll walk.
Let's walk. How far have we gone? 20 miles?
Huh? No, don't be foolish.
We couldn't be in that country yet, the one you spoke about, with the scorpions and...
No, of course not. Not that far. Not that far, I don't think. And what if we are in that country? We're travelers, we're explorers. Don't worry so. Only thing is to stay close. I wouldn't want to lose you.
By now, the forest was not only dark, but wet. Not only wet, but also cold. And the only light was a thin sliver of a moon that shone now and then between the clouds. rain began to drizzle. Stop! What's the matter?
There. Look. That thing there. What does that look like?
I don't know. What do you think?
Could it be the Matul?
The what?
The Matul.
What is the Matul?
Well, if it is, Sandro, it's best we know it. Then we can face it.
What should it look like?
It's big.
Big? Yes, that thing is very big.
It has two enormous hands.
Two? I see even more than two. At least two.
Strong enough to throw down an elephant.
With any hand it could do that.
Then it's the Matul.
What do we do?
What Alexander did.
What was that?
When he needed to get somewhere, he rode on the back of an eagle, and with a piece of meat on his sword, he steered the eagle. Was he frightened?
He wasn't.
Not for a second. Pick up a stick.
Yes.
Pick up one for me.
Here.
We'll walk up to it.
To the Matul?
That's the only way.
So, armed with clubs, the two walked through the dismal forest, up, up, up to the Matul. They walked until they came directly in front of its very jaws.
It's only a tree.
Yeah, but now it's a tree, you mean.
Now?
Well, of course. See, that's the way with a Matul.
Huh?
When a person without fear approaches it, it turns into a tree. But it was a Matul.
Is that a fact?
Certainly. Come along. Keep moving. No sense standing here, you know. It might turn back again into a Matul.
So on they trot, in a new, strange land. Half new wonders of nature and the supernatural on a territory where no man had ever ventured before. And the paths grew narrower, the stones sharper, and the air colder and wetter, the shapes more terrible. And then, they heard it.
Yeah.
What is it?
The phoenix had such a voice.
The phoenix?
Half a woman, half a bird. Or else, wait.
Yeah.
More like a basilisk.
A what?
The body of a lion with a woman's head.
Benjamin, please.
There's only one thing to do, like Columbus did and Ponce de Leon and Alexander. Meet it, face to face.
Face to face? That thing? That voice?
Here, hold my hand. Together we'll face it.
Gripping each other's hands as tight as they could, they walked toward the terrible voice. Their eyes grew dimmer and dimmer, for apart from the darkness and the moon behind a cloud, there were tears in their eyes and the choking in their throat. The known danger man may face, but the unknown, never. And yet they walked until it was worse than even Benjamin had imagined.
Look! Not one monster, but three.
And they both fainted away. Tell you about the three monsters. The first was a peasant, calmly smoking his pipe. He drove a wagon, and of course the wagon was the second monster. The third was his tired horse, plodding quietly through the forest. And the dread voice, well, the dread voice was saying...
Get up there, fellow.
Two heroes lay stretched out cold on the wet green of the road. But the peasant, being a nice sort and seeing two men stretched on the road, tried to rouse them. The explorers didn't stir.
to the peasant.
Lifted them with great effort, for they were dead weight, and put them on the wagon. And resuming his seat, he riddled his pipe and said,
"Get up."
And the great adventure went on. A few hours later, dawn came. Our voyagers stirred in the straw of the wagons, and Benjamin knew the worst had happened.
Don't say a word.
Are your legs bound?
I don't dare look.
They are. Mine are. Conserve your energy. Conserve your energy.
No, no. What's the matter?
No. Oh, tied me so tight it pierces my flesh. But I won't cry out. I won't give him the satisfaction.
No,
no. No. You're so...
What is he?
Obviously a Turk. We have been captured and bound, and are about to be sold into slavery.
Oh. What will Deborah say?
But lie back. Conserve your strength. Conserve your strength. Slavery will not be pleasant.
What of binding them with a sack of potatoes that had fallen over on their feet? And what had pierced their flesh was a poor rooster whose legs were tied and who scratched out now and then in his efforts to get loose.
Oh,
this is a terrible Turk indeed. Don't say a word. If he realizes we're conscious, he's sure to torture us.
On they rode in silence, bound and suffering, preparing as brave men must for life far worse than death. Then, without warning, suddenly the wagon stopped.
All right. You can get out here.
Well, what?
This is Bitterland.
What are you saying?
You wanted to go to Bitterland, didn't you? All night long, the two of you kept moaning, Bitterland. So, here's Bitterland.
You aren't going to torture us?
I sell potatoes and chicken.
We aren't taken into captivity?
Well, get out, will you? I've got to sell these before noon or my wife will have my head. Now, will you get out?
Alexander never set foot on new land with greater alacrity. The light in Columbus' eyes as he saw the new world was dim compared to the light in our travelers' eyes as they beheld the road of their native village. And the villagers of Bitterland, as they saw the two spies...
Well,
oh, not this. You're saved. Praise God.
Come, Alexander. Go call Deborah. Tell them they are no longer widows. Their husbands have returned. But how...
A great crowd gathered around. All the village, including their wives. And everyone demanded to know what had happened to them. Where had they been? How had they been saved?
We're all waiting to hear your answer.
Well, tell us, Arthur, where...
One question at a time. One at a time, one at a time. Now, as to where we have been, this I shall write down in a book to be called The Travels of Benjamin of Bitterland.
With Sandro.
Oh, yes, of course. With Sandro, the wife.
Thank you.
We have been, I can tell you, where no men have ever been.
And he related to the village their adventures just as they happened. Well, perhaps with a trifle more added here and a small flourish there. And when he finished and the eyes of all were wide with wonder, Zelda came up to her husband and Deborah to Sendril, and the women said...
You must be hungry, Benjamin. You too, Sendril?
Oh, I could eat. you too, Sendril?
A good meal. Just right.
Sendril, you'll sit in the parlor with Benjamin and Zelda and I. We'll go to the kitchen and prepare the meal.
If that's what you want, why should I object? Into the parlor, Benjamin Nyomka of Bitterland. After you. We have things to talk about. China, Persia, the South Sea.
And that is how it began. Yes, began. The first time the story was told, the two were lost 2 days. Then it became a week. Later, a whole month. In the first version, they travel to one distant land, then a dozen, and finally all the different countries in the world. At first, it was only a Matul and Chimera they encountered. Finally, they conquered all the known and unknown animals of the earth, sea, and sky. And thus it was that to the village of Bitolon, where nothing ever happened, came the greatest adventure that ever befell two men. Greater than Columbus and Ulysses and Ponce de Leon and Marco Polo all rolled up into one. Well, as I said, if you like a novel or a book of poems or a commentary, I have them all. A wagon load full. Here now, just look them over. Mendel, the bookseller, is my name. No obligation to buy whatsoever.
Our eternal life story today was The Tale of Mendel of the Bookseller by Arnold Pearl. It was based on a translation by Yusuf Geyer of a story entitled Benjamin's First Journey by Mendel Mokhea Sephorim, which appeared in the Menorah Journal. The original music was composed and conducted by Morris Mamorski. Featured as Benjamin was Carl Swenson, and William Keane as Senderel. Edgar Staley was the narrator. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The entire production was under the direction of Walter McGraw. Free time has been given by the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations to present this program in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Mm-hmm.